Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. So we have just passed the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Try to say that three times fast. I bet you can't. Sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are, like I said, halfway through the Winter Ordinary Time season. We have eight Sundays, two more to go. So Lent, again, gleaming on the horizon for us to enter into. But on this sixth Sunday, again, we are still working through what Jesus's initial ministry is, what his initial message is all about. Again, the son born for us, the savior given to us, this child given to us, what is his going to be his task? What is he going to show us? What is he going to tell us? Well, this weekend, Jesus begins to do just that. He has already proclaimed the fulfillment of Isaiah's scripture passage. He has already done a miracle on the second Sunday in Winter Ordinary Time by changing water into wine, calling guys to follow him, Peter, the rest of them. And now we begin to see him teaching us about what it means to be a part of the life of God and to search for the life of God, really. Again, just a quick update, or not quick, a quick recap, not update, a quick recap of the understanding of ordinary time. Again, it is always a sense in which we are not just in a time that is boring and dull, and not in a time in which nothing happens, and not in a time that is commonplace or everyday. Although Jesus uses daily and domestic things, wine, oil, bread, water, those kinds of things to demonstrate God's sacramental presence to us, Christ's coming to us and being a part of our lives. And God does work through the ordinary and the commonplace. What we are about now is accounting not down to something, but accounting up to something, that time when God is all in all, that parousia, that instance of God's fulfillment, the instance in which God says, this is why creation has existed. This is why you have existed. This is why I did what I did. And so all these Sundays that have first, second, third, the ordinal numbers count us up, to that very moment. And so on this sixth Sunday, on Sunday number six in Winter Ordinary Time, we are first given Jeremiah, who we saw in Advent a lot. Jeremiah now begins to return in Winter Ordinary Time, chapter 17. Remember, Jeremiah is preaching in the kingdom of Judah, one of the two kingdoms that happens after the separation of the kingdom of David. Or kingdom of Solomon, actually. After Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided into two halves, a northern half to Israel, which eventually is taken over by the Assyrians, and the people there go off into oblivion, never to be heard from again. Kingdom of Judah survives a little bit more, but will be attacked by the Babylonians and become a part of the Babylonian Empire, and their members will be taken into exile, but they will be returning once the captivity ends. In the midst of all this, Jeremiah arises to try and help Israel negotiate, this change in their life that's going to happen. It may be unavoidable at this point in time, but how will they remember that God is with them even as they move into destruction and then into exile? Again, Jeremiah's goal, to call people back to God, to call people back to their understanding of who they are as God's people, that they are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. What does it mean to be that? Jeremiah's mission is about that. Again, he is not appreciated until after he dies, as is the problem with all people who speak good things, as what happens with people who speak good things. But Jeremiah His message for us today from chapter 17 is to understand God's wisdom a little bit and to make it our own. And so there is a distinction that is made point blank. If you trust in men, you're going to end up with nothing. And by men, Jeremiah means the male species, the male sex. Men don't do well in trying to figure things out. They are not useful. They are not helpful. And this is, again, the problem that Jeremiah is experiencing. The kings of Israel, all the nobles, whatever it is, it's all run by males. It's all run by men. And it's causing Israel turmoil and upset and anxiety, and they're making alliances with people who don't care about them, who are also men. It's just a mess. Do not trust in men. Do not trust in human beings. Where should you put your trust? In God. You put your trust in God, and then you are that mighty tree that stretches out its roots, its branches to streams, that even in times of drought, can bear fruit, that even in the desert is still lush and beautiful. This is the power of trusting in God. Again, a God who, yes, we cannot see, but a God who constantly tells us is there with us on the journey. And others have experienced it, and we need to experience it too, to be able to share that with others and make sure that our hope is grounded on something that is real and not on the transitoriness you're going to of human foils and fables, of human fickleness, of human ups and downs and whatever it is, because that is not really where we can ground ourselves. An important message for us to contemplate and to think about, even in our own time today. Do we trust men or do we trust God? In the continued first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, basically we have something that's kind of similar, you know, to this idea about who to trust in, where basically Paul talks about, you know, trusting that Christ rose from the dead. If Christ did not, you know, everything that we can tell you is foolishness. Everything we can tell you then does not matter. Everything that Christ promised, you know, would be, won't be, because again, he died, and there's nothing more that you can do after death. But coming back from dead gives credence, gives credibility, shows the authority, shows the authenticity of Christ's words, as well as the power of God that worked through him. What seems foolishness to the world is not foolish to God. What seems ridiculous and absurd to the world is not ridiculous and absurd to God. It's seeing in different ways. It's seeing with different eyes. It's seeing with a hope that only God can provide us. That's who we are called to be and called to witness to in this world. And then there is Luke's gospel, in which now we open up with Christ doing something didactic, with Christ teaching us, and teaching us on a plain, not on a mountain, as is in Matthew's gospel, but the Sermon on the Plain, and not giving us a whole list of things as does Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, but now in Luke's Sermon on the Plain, there are four blessings and four woes. Again, blessings that are addressed basically to people who put their trust in God. A blessing that if you are poor, you will not suffer. You will find wealth and riches in ways that are beyond your imagining and not in the way that life or that humanity or the world thinks are important. Blessed are you who are hungry, because you will be fed, because you trust in God to do that. Blessed are you who weep and mourn, because you trust in God to deliver you from that. You will be delivered from that. Blessed are you when they persecute you and utter lies about you and slander against you, because you believed in me, you are going to be rescued from all of that. Again, those who dare to trust in God will be rescued. Those who dare to trust in God will see something in their life that the world cannot give, that the world will never be able to give them. But then there are those woes, and the woes are directed not towards us, but to those who believe that they can trust in anything but God. Those who believe they can trust in themselves. Those who believe that God does not exist. Those who believe that God, believing in God is just a fantasy, you know, something for babies, something, you know, that foolishness is made upon. Well, what happens to those people is that woe to you, because you believe in riches and it will amount to nothing for you. Woe to you who only think of yourself and filling your own bellies. You will be empty and hungry. Woe to you who think that you can basically have life and nothing but one easy celebration. You'll never know the struggles and the challenges of hardship. And then woe to you when everybody speaks well of you. Woe to that, you know, because in the most cases, because they spoke well of the prophets and then decided to crucify them because the prophets began to say things that they didn't like. Again, this whole idea about where do we ground ourselves? Where do we place ourselves as believers? Either we trust in a God who will deliver us because this God cares for us, or we trust in nothing. Again, if we don't trust in this God to help us, then our lives are meaningless. Our lives just keep meandering around without any anchor, without any substance, without any core. To believe in a God who can rescue us from those things that could stop us from being who and what we are meant to be is to believe in a God who we can trust in. A God who is mighty, a God who is powerful, a God who comes to be a part of our life. Blessed Sunday, a blessed week to you from Franciscan Media. May the Lord always give you his peace.